I think I've been in the field of broadcasting for about near 40, 45 years now. I grew up, and that was my only interest growing up, was broadcasting, being in radio. My saddest time in my life was in the fourth grade, knowing I wanted to be a broadcaster. And I looked it up in the dictionary in school one day, and the definition for broadcaster was a device for spreading fertilizer. I had to read that several times to myself to try to comprehend what I was reading. But as it turns out, that's exactly what it was. A broadcaster is a device that you put fertilizer or seed in and you turn the crank and it broadcasts the seed over the field. I didn't realize at the time that that's pretty much what a radio announcer does too. He spreads fertilizer. I started tinkering with radios and tape recorders, and I'd record myself reading the news and playing like I was a disc jockey. I made a little toy radio station in my bedroom. But I never would have got into radio, probably, had it not been for my daddy's hemorrhoids. My daddy was a hard-working man. He's a carpenter, a mason. And about the time I turned 12 years old, 13 years old, he had to take some time off from work for some surgery at the hospital here in town. And I didn't know what it was. I just knew that they said he's going to have some kind of hemorrhoid surgery. Didn't mean nothing to me, just he's going to be in the hospital. My mama didn't drive at all. So she would take a taxi with me, and we'd go sit with my daddy during his recovery of his surgery. One night we went to the hospital, we're sitting up there, and it's getting late. Mama could tell I was bored silly sitting in the hospital room. She gave me some money and told me, why don't you walk across Water Tank Hill down Main Street there and go to the theater and see a movie? Law, you wouldn't do that these days. You wouldn't let your 13-year-old, 12-year-old do that now. So she gave me some money and I took out a walking. And I walked over the hill down to Main Street, only I didn't go to the movie house. Next door to the theater was the radio station on Main Street. And I looked up there, and there's a big call letters up there. I went up to the door, and it happened to be open. I went upstairs. There's a DJ on the air. First time I've ever been inside a radio station. Got up there and the DJ was on. Oh, I was thrilled to death to watch him do his trait. I sit there and I watched and I just thought, I want to do that someday. I want to do that someday. Well, as it turns out, that very same disc jockey also was going to have to work the following Sunday. But he had to run two radio stations at the same time, an AM and an FM at the same time. Well, the AM station on Sundays just played preaching programs. But the FM played beautiful music, what we call beautiful music, Lawrence Welk music, albums. Well, typically this disc jockey, whose name was Moby, typically he has a buddy of his in high school come up there and help him run the FM on Sundays. But this coming Sunday, his buddy couldn't make it, and Moby says, Tony, you want to come up here and help me run the FM on Sunday? Oh, yes, I do. I do indeed. That night, Moby drove me home. Back then, we turned the radio off. He signed off at 11 o'clock. Moby signed off, and he lived out in my neighborhood. He drove me home that night. When I get home, Mama opened the front door. Now, I cannot recall how I was supposed to get home after the movie. I guess Mama gave me enough money to call a cab. Moby took me home, though, and Mama let me in. She said, where in the world have you been? I said, got me a job at the radio station. I didn't no more have a job at the radio station than the man in the moon. But I felt like I did. I felt Oh, I felt big. The following Sunday, my sister drove me to the radio station. I get up there, and lo and behold, Moby, the disc jockey, his buddy showed up after all and was going to work the FM. I was so disappointed. My heart just fell. I hadn't been there 10 minutes till his buddy buzzed him on the intercom and said, "Hey, is that little boy up there still?" Moby said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, let him come back here. I want to go home." So Moby took me back in the back where the FM studio was. He set me down. He said, "Here's a Lawrence Welk album. You play this album. When it goes off, you start this album. When that goes off, you start..." He said, "You don't touch that microphone, whatever you do. You don't touch that microphone and say a word." I didn't. I was never more thrilled. I remember it like it was yesterday. I sat there and I examined the machinery. I looked at records and looked at all the gadgets in the room. I was thrilled to play these Lawrence Welk albums for a while. The first hour was thrilling. The second hour, I was beginning to get a little bored. I wanted to do a little bit more and play albums, because the albums last 15 minutes per side. But I didn't. I sat back there and done my job, but still thankful that I was there. And then later on that afternoon, another disc jockey came in to relieve Moby. And that disc jockey's name was Lowell Finley. And Lowell said, "You want to run the AM studio?" I said, "Yes, I do." And from that day forward, Lowell took me under his wings and taught me the trade of radio. And I was never more grateful than Lowell Finley teaching me the trade. I was also never more grateful than eventually the manager of the station, Warren Dean, gave me my first job in radio at the age of 14 years old. I was walking in tall cotton, because I'd go to school and say, "Hey, I heard you on the radio." And I used to tell them, "I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Daddy's hemorrhoids."